old lady, I-O. That's hard rock and coco and gold.
Now listen, my children, and you shall hear a story fantastic, a story so queer. It's all about Santa and his helpers three. There's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Now Hard Rock's the driver up there by his sleigh. Coco reads maps and he shows him the way. Though old Santa really has no need for Joe, but takes him cause he loves him so.
Oh, old lady, I-A. Dollar and Blitzen away, away. Oh, old lady, I-O.
I'm Hard Rock.
I'm Coco.
I'm Joe.
And Santa is busy with his heavy pack. He trusts his drivers and never looks back.
Oh, old lady, I-O.
I'm Hard Rock.
I'm Coco.
I'm Joe.
Now go to bed early on this Christmas Eve. I've no way of knowing just what you'll receive. But you'll hear their laughter, that much I do know. 'Twill be Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
The three little men only 2 feet high, singing to Santa way up in the sky. Laughing and shouting as the sleigh bells ring. It's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Oh, old lady, I hate.
Donner and Blitzen away, away.
Oh, old lady, I know.
He's Hard Rock.
He's Coco.
He's Joe.
And Santa is busy with his heavy pack. He trusts his drivers and never looks back.
Oh, old lady, I know.
He's Hard Rock.
He's Coco.
He's Joe.
Santa will come in and set down his pack and hard rock all the reindeer till Santa comes back.
If you hear a giggle as he turns to go, it's Coco a snowball and Joe.
Oh, old lady, I hey.
Donner and Blitzen away, away.
Oh, old lady, I know.
Oh. I'm Hard Rock.
I'm Coco.
I'm Joe.
And Santa is busy with his heavy pack. He trusts his drivers and never looks back.
Old lady, I know.
I'm Hard Rock.
I'm Coco.
I'm Joe.
Old lady, I.
It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. Merry Christmas to all of you, and welcome to the 2018 Plyer Family Christmas Special. And on this rare occasion, I'm honored that my entire family is joining me in studio. My beautiful wife, Lori, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Our oldest son, Josh, Merry Christmas, pal.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Our favorite daughter, Merry Christmas to you, Emma.
Merry Christmas, Daddy.
And our little guy, Alex, Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Merry Christmas to you as well. We have so many family traditions that we all try to squeeze in throughout the season. Let's start with you, Emma. What is your favorite?
My favorite Christmas tradition is baking Clara's cookies.
Clara's cookies. Who's Clara, for those who don't know Clara?
Your grandma.
Yeah, my grandma. Grandma's been gone a long time, but she used to bake 50, 60 dozen cookies at Christmas time for the postal worker, for the pastor, for the newspaper boy, and of course, all of our family and friends, and you could smell it coming from her kitchen when we'd pull up to the house. Emma, of course, we make everything from scratch, but what's the most important part once all the dough is made?
Twisting the red and white together.
Yeah, and making those candy cane cookies. And everybody loves those.
Yes.
Absolutely. Josh, what about you?
I'd have to say Vigilia, which is our Polish Christmas.
And the meal, it centers around the meal. What is our first thing that we have?
Yeah, it always starts with our Polish mushroom soup. And then we do shrimp. We do a compote, which not everyone's fond of. We do
call it compost.
Yeah. We do honey and bread, pierogies.
And there's some fish always that we throw on the grill as well. Yeah,
salmon,
absolutely.
Whitefish.
Yeah. And then opening gifts, of course, Santa always shows up. But at the end of the night, what do?
We sing carols.
Yeah.
In whoever's living room.
And we also try to throw in some Polish carols as well.
We hit about one or two.
Yeah, we hit about
that
one
we can
or two.
Say all the way.
These songbooks were something that my uncle and my grandfather came out with, and it was right after the war that they first put these together. So there's all these war songs in there as well that we kind of we throw in a couple for them
as
well.
They used a typewriter to create.
They had it on a typewriter, which is absolutely awesome. Alex, what about you? What is your favorite holiday tradition?
Throwing snowballs at Emma.
Yeah, exactly. Not in the eye though.
Yeah. Or you'll die.
Oh, you'll exactly. You like building snowmans too and playing in the snow.
Yeah.
And what do your mom and you do in the snow together?
snow angels.
Yeah, that's something very special that Mom taught you,
sure,
right?
We sure do.
Yeah, absolutely.
We did it just last week.
Mommy, what is your favorite holiday tradition?
Setting up the Christmas tree.
Yeah, and you have favorite ornaments that you put up as well, right?
Sure do.
Okay.
She does all the tinsel around the house.
Yeah, all over the
all
place.
All the greenery.
Yeah, all the greenery. Yeah, all the greenery. All down, up and down the stairs, and it's the house looks beautiful because of that, and it smells so good, too.
Daddy, what's your favorite?
So mine is our holiday party, and I just love having family and friends from every part of our lives, work lives, neighbors, friends, people from the church. It's so nice to have those people together, but it's always interesting to see some of the different conversations that are happening around the room. We also watch our favorite movies and Christmas episodes of our favorite TV shows. Alex, you have a favorite. What's your favorite Christmas show that you like watching every year?
Frosty.
Frosty the Snowman. What do you like about the story?
Frosty helps Karen make a fire.
Yeah, yeah. He's very sweet that way, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that one too. How about you, Josh?
I'd have to say Rudolph.
Rudolph, yeah. Good lessons in there.
Mm-hmm. And the claymation.
Yeah, the claymation. That's the original, of course. And it's an hour-long one. And that one's like 54 years old,
mm-hmm.
long before even I was born. So, Emma, what about you?
I like watching Christmas episodes of my favorite TV shows.
And we watch a lot of them. We watch the Honeymooners, and we watch the Dick Van Dyke Show, but you have a real favorite.
My favorite is Happy Days.
Happy Days. And it's the episode where Fonzie's alone on Christmas.
Yeah.
But we just watched one different one this last, on Thanksgiving we did, right? When we were coming home. And he bought something, and it was engraved. It said, "You're the Ginchiest, love the Fonz." And when he asked who he was giving it to, he said,
Everybody,
exactly. Well, my favorite is the Dick Van Dyke Show Christmas episode. It's called The Alan Brady Show Presents, where the entire cast comes out and really performs through the whole show. They do a I Am a Fine Musician, and they do a little chorus thing dedicated to Alan Brady, and Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore come out in Santa costumes and dance around, and Richie sings The Little Drummer Boy. It's just an awesome episode. Christmas movies. Emma, I know you have a favorite.
My favorite is Elf.
Yeah, me too.
What is their favorite part of that?
When he's trying to get on the escalator and gets into the splits.
How about you, Josh?
I just like that we watch it every Thanksgiving. So we watch Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and then we go right into Elf, which kind of starts off the whole holiday season.
It does start off the whole holiday season.
Yeah, it's nice.
How about you, Alex? What's your favorite?
The Grinch.
Oh, you like the Grinch. That's right. What's your favorite part of the Grinch?
He makes the weird face on his big mountain.
Oh, that's right. When he took all the presents, probably, right?
Yeah.
And Lori, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
It's a Wonderful Life.
And what's your favorite part?
Clarence's journey.
Yeah. Yeah, to get his wings. Yeah, absolutely. So another holiday favorite for me is Christmas Vacation. That one I could watch over and over again. But the other one is A Christmas Story. And Emma, you have a favorite part of that movie.
My favorite part of that movie is when Ralphie walks down the stairs wearing the big bunny pajamas.
Yeah, he got that as a gift. He wasn't very happy about it.
Yeah.
And Josh, you have a favorite part, too.
Yeah, mine's when something goes wrong with the heater in the basement. You can just hear the dad screaming from downstairs.
Oh, for Christ's sake, open up the damper, will you? Who the hell turned it all the way down? Again? Oh, blast it. Toot, blurt, rattle, rat, camel, flirt. You blucker, rattle, beast, circle, rat. One sec, but rattle, bottom, brother.
In the heat of battle, my father wove a tapestry of obscenity that, as far as we know, is still hanging in space over Lake Michigan.
And joining us on Christmas Day to talk about the 35th anniversary of A Christmas Story is the star of the film, Peter Billingsley, who played Ralphie. It's all yours, Dad.
Thank you, Josh. Happy holidays, Peter.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you too, Dave.
So this year marks the 35th anniversary of A Christmas Story. It wasn't your first role, as you started doing commercials at a very young age.
Well, I started at 2.5 doing commercials, and so I was really raised in the business. My family was not in the business at all. It was just kind of a fluke, very different in the 70s, not the big kind of Disney Nickelodeon businesses that you can do with kids. It was more something to do for fun, to do commercials and some child work, and I guess I just was very lucky. I guess I had an aptitude for it. So
some. You did like, 120 commercials. I mean, you were all over the place by the time.
Yeah, commercials. Yep. And lots of films and TV, and then obviously Christmas Story was a big thing that kind of put me, at least sort of put my face out there publicly. But I, having grown up on sets, I was just always curious from the process. It's an environment I was always very comfortable in, so I would ask a lot of questions and always had a desire to probably want to do more than just the work in front of the camera, even though, you know, I loved it and had a great experience and had great parents. I didn't have that
right
kind of you know, child star journey that a lot of them have, where it was a struggle. And so for me, the business was always something that I was curious about and wanted more. And actually, a terrific mentor was Bob Clark, who directed A Christmas Story.
Right.
It was very helpful to me as I was sort of wanting to get behind the camera and, you know, in my late teens and early 20s, and encouraged me to move through post-production and really learn the business, which I did from the other side, and then started working. And then, you know, as Vince was working and we wanted to do things together, form that partnership as well.
Yeah, that's very cool. I was born in 67, so long before Christmas Story, I remember you in the Hershey's commercials. Messy Marvin, I think.
Oh, the Messy Marvin commercials, yeah.
Yeah, you were. It was almost like a character in and of itself. You mentioned Bob Clark and what a mentor he was for you over the years. When you turned 12, you went on an audition for him for the role of Ralphie in A Christmas Carol, which again, celebrating 35 years this year. You were the first actor he saw, but you got a call back some months later. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, that that he had seen me first, because they set up these, you know, these auditions, and the director just wants to see people in the casting. And I think I was literally the first person he saw, and he thought, wow, this, yeah, I like this guy, but obviously I'm not hiring the first person.
Right.
So he went on his journey, had remembered me, and then, you know, they do that sort of stressful process of mixing and matching and pairing through sort of screen testing different chemistries of people and friends and all that stuff, and you all read different roles, and then he settled on me for the role.
I mean, an iconic movie, obviously, and you know, I'm mentioning this because it's 35 years this year, which is incredible to me, but it took 10 years for Gene Shepard, I know, to get this movie made, and he was on set quite a bit, but eventually was asked to leave because he was telling the actors how to play the scenes, and I don't think Bob Clark liked that much.
It was, I mean, it was, I think, all done somewhat in love, but they would certainly, you know, argue about things, because Gene would pull me aside and say, no, say it like this, because he had written the book. You know, A Christmas Story is based on, Gene's a prolific writer, radio personality,
right,
for years.
Yeah.
And really, A Christmas Story is one short story of a series of short stories, and each short story in his book was, one was the turkey, one was the bunny suit, one was the gun, and they kind of put them all together and had The Pursuit of the BB Gun as the A story, so to speak, that moved through.
Yeah.
But really, it was a collection of stories of him growing up in the Midwest as he remembered it. And just, you know, he was sort of a Garrison Keillor of his day, I guess you could say, and just the way he saw and described things. So these two, Bob and Gene, had been working for so long to get the movie made, and they had to make a lot of sacrifices to do it, and it was a small budget. So by the time they were there, there was a lot of passion on the set that you could feel, and pretty strong opinions. So Bob would often say, Gene, get away from my actors. And then he'd say to me, you know, what did he say to you? Don't listen to him. We're going to do it this way.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was fun, but it was all, I think, in really a quest to try to do something that they saw that nobody else did, because, you know, this is not an easy movie to get made. I don't think it was, you know, it's not some high concept Hollywood movie. It was a period piece in the 40s with a narrator that had really never been done like that.
Well, I was going to say, like, and you as a producer.
To get a BB gun for Christmas.
Yeah.
It was just I mean, sadly, I can tell you honestly, probably if I read it, I'd think, oh my gosh, no one's going to go see this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably pass.
Yeah.
Foolishly.
Yeah.
Because you just don't see it. So, and everyone had. And I think Bob had to, you know, agree to direct some more commercial horror movie for the studio to do it. So it's a real testament to their kind of vision and drive behind the movie to take that long and to be that steadfast in what they wanted to do with it. And, you know, Bob was so well prepared. It was a great experience for me to see, because I had done a lot of other movies, big movies, a movie with Burt Reynolds called Paternity.
Right. Right.
Big budget movies that had flopped that no one's ever heard of. And, you know, they were all supposed to be, hey, kid, this is the one for you. They're going to launch you. And, you know, that's not why we were doing it, but still there was all this hype. And the nice thing about A Christmas Story, it was sort of your, I say, like, you know, everyone was taking their lunch pail to work kind of movie. It was put your head down and get it done. There was no awareness, no hype. I don't really remember people from the studio coming to visit the set. It was just this very off-the-radar project, and they did an amazing job with it, obviously.
Peter, it's amazing to me, after all these years, and seeing it in the theater when I was just a kid myself, that this movie is now regarded as a holiday classic in the same category as It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, and A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I know, in 35 years, still playing on the marathon, and I had read that it's still one of their highest rated programs for the year on TNT and TBS. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's something else, and, you know, I've been fortunate to work on a lot of these, and you really don't know the ones that are going to kind of culturally cut out. You try your best. You try to hit on those chords, but certainly, you know, there was lightning caught in a bottle here, and it's nice.
You filmed most of that movie on a soundstage. Many scenes were also filmed in Cleveland and in Toronto, even though it took place in Indiana. But you were 12. I mean, you've got to have great memories of just kind of getting through the process. And I know you got to chew some tobacco. You got to say the F word. Pretty good for a 12-year-old, you know, kid for the movies.
Not too bad, yeah. It was, again, you know, we talk about the 70s, and this was done in 83. It's still a different time, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
We weren't as worried about what the exposure to a kid was, for better or worse. but the scene where I was doing the chewing tobacco, and sort of had to spit, for whatever reason, they gave me Red Man, which I didn't know any better. I put in my mouth and started doing the scene, and then I got really dizzy, started sweating and throwing up.
Oh, God.
So we stopped production for an hour. The director was furious. Bob was furious. He's like, who the hell gave him Red Man? and I think someone was like, oh, no, the scene called for chewing tobacco. I was like, he's 12.
Yeah.
So they ground up raisins and mushed them together and put it in my mouth, and then we continued.
That would have probably been a better first choice.
Well, you think maybe you start there.
Yeah right.
And let the director say it doesn't look real enough, but yeah. I was starting at Red Man. But again, it was a very different time.
That's awesome. I know the house is actually a museum now. It was kind of a shell when you were shooting scenes outside of it, but now it's become this museum where they've actually almost like recreated the actual set inside the house, which is pretty crazy, in Cleveland.
Yeah, I haven't been to see it. I've heard that they've turned it into a museum, and it's quite a popular landmark there. And I think the city's very supportive of it as well. So that's nice. It was, you know, it's nice to take something that really wasn't being used and give fans a chance to go and experience that. And I think some of the cast members pop through there on occasion so they can meet them and sign autographs and so forth.
That's cool. There's so many iconic props from the movie that are must-haves for fans, like the Red Ryder BB gun, the leg lamp. But is it true that you still own the pink bunny suit and the original BB gun and the glasses?
I do. Well, the glasses were real. I've always been pretty blind. So all those glasses growing up were 100% real. But I do have the original bunny suit. I don't
That's
have the
crazy.
Original leg lamp. I think Gene had one, and I forget who has the other one. But there might only be one left, like real one from the set.
Wow.
Because we destroyed most of them.
Yeah.
But I do have the original bunny suit and an original gun from the film.
That's crazy. And there's even a bronze statue of the famous flagpole scene at the Indiana Welcome Center in Hammond, Indiana, where it was supposed to be.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
cool.
Gene Shepard's hometown. Peter, very cool to talk to you again. And Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thanks, Dave. Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right, thanks, Peter. Josh, you actually have a leg lamp in your room.
Yeah, I do, and I also got a Marty Moose eggnog mug.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Now, as a family, we have a tradition of going to Mass on Christmas morning, and it's really the reason for the season. As a kid, I went to midnight Mass. Lori, your family went Christmas morning, right? All of you went to Christmas morning Mass.
Dad, every year, Cardinal Blaise Cupich, the Archbishop of Chicago, joins us on this Christmas Day.
The message of Christmas is that God is with us, revealed in the face of a child. We instinctively know this as we experience something quite unique and beautiful through the gift of children in a family. They reveal something to us of the divine in their spontaneity and joy, which are moments of grace. Hope is stirred in our hearts as we dream about their future. So let us first of all give thanks for the gift of children this Christmas, and let each child remind us that God has not abandoned us, but cares for each of us as we care for children, loving them unconditionally. The story of the child Jesus is both common and extraordinary. He, like many children today, was born in poverty, being wrapped in rags and born in a stable. And yet he is the one through whom all things were made. He shared the vulnerability of our human condition with his parents, traveling to Bethlehem, escaping from danger as refugees, and yet Jesus is mighty King, with everything put at his feet. Joseph, known as his father, was a carpenter. Yet Jesus is the Son of God, the Word made flesh, the glory of the angels, and the long-awaited Savior. Each of our lives are touched by the common and the extraordinary. By taking on our human nature, he shares with us his divinity. What a great exchange. Whatever challenges we may face this Christmas season, be comforted in the knowledge that God is with us. His mercy is hope, the joy that only the Christ child can bring. God bless you and all your loved ones this holy season.
That was Cardinal Šupić,
the Archbishop of Chicago.
Nice to have him on the program.
It sure was.
Well, that wraps up the Plyer Family Christmas Special for 2018. And from all of us to all of you, have a very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. St. Nicholas, he took a flight. The moon was shining bright. Bring out the bells. Old St. Nick was riding through the sky. You should have seen those reindeer fly. Bring out the bells, it's a holiday season. Bring out the bells, it's a happy time. Bring out the bells, we've got a good reason to ring the bells and hear the pretty bells chime.
Ring the bells and hear the pretty bells chime.
Jingle bells. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.